This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to begin a series of previewing the Gold Cup series here on the USEA podcast, and we're going to begin with Red Hills Horse Trials, which starts just next week on March the 10th, when we hear from the organiser, Jane Barron. And before that, Kate Loki will be here from the office to explain the USCA's Gold Cup series. But we begin with Mary Cauldron. Mary is a show secretary and has been for a number of years, well known to many of you on the circuit, and she's going to tell us what it takes to be a good show secretary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the program.
How are you today?
Very good indeed, Mary. Nice to talk to you again. And we're going to talk about something that obviously is very dear to your heart, something that you have invested a lot of hours, I think, in being an events secretary. So we're going to pick your brain here, because it's something that you actually talked about at convention last year as well. But before we do, Mary, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and why you're so well qualified to talk about this, how you've been involved with the sport.
Well, I got involved back in the 80s and evented myself. I did the Radnor three-day event when it was the long format. And it was not something that I had a life plan to become an entry secretary. I just sort of fell into it. At one point, I was kind of between jobs and doing miscellaneous things when Fair Hill started running the horse trials in addition to the CCI. And at that point, I was treasurer for Fair Hill. And I was asked, would you like to do the entry stuff? And I said, sure, why not? And I learned as I went, so to speak. And then it was another event and another event and another event. And now it's quite a few that I do each year. And it's a lot of hours. So I'm not sure that I was ever trained a certain way or not, but I just developed my own style, I guess you'd say.
So tell us about the events that you do work these days, Mary. You said you've got several on your roster.
Well, it's funny because some of the events I'm not technically the entry secretary for, but like, for instance, Plantation, I'm more an organizer role. Bambi Glockham is the secretary. However, I do still schedule the ride times. And in the past, there have been a few events, like when Full Gallop first started, and Lockmoy, that's another one. They handle the entries themselves mm-hmm. at the event, but I schedule it. So as far as scheduling ride times, I schedule what time an awful lot of riders are going to go down the center line each weekend. I think as far as scheduling, I do all of the Fair Hill events, Plantation, Lockmoy, Shorefire, Radnor, Sporting Days down in Aiken, Great Meadow I did last year. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten any. So that's something that the scheduling, I do a lot more than the data entry at this point, only because it takes a lot of time.
Well, clearly, obviously it is, and the way that you do it, you obviously have a system as well. But let's talk a little bit about overall what you consider the principles of being a good show secretary, as well as obviously being able to keep so many balls in the air at the same time. But you know, if somebody was new to this, or you want to encourage volunteers, which we always do, don't we, in the sport, we're always looking for
Absolutely.
New people to get involved. Give them like an overview of what this involves, Mary, and how they could get started and how they could like shadow someone and serve an apprenticeship, so to speak, you know, and get involved in doing this. What are the skills required?
Well, I would love to have more people involved, and I encourage anybody to, they're welcome to contact me anytime. I meet people and help them get involved in the sport as a secretary. I think there's a couple skills that are beneficial. One is to be very organized and detail-oriented, which I'll admit I'm not always the most organized person myself. If you look at my desk, I kind of know where everything is, but there are other people that are more organized than I am, and it's one of the goals that I strive to improve. But the most important thing to me is that you are patient and you can keep a smile on your face. No matter what you're thinking in the back of your mind, you have to keep smiling and remember that it's a customer service job, and you want your customers to go home happy. At the end of the day, there's the professionals But then there's a big group of amateurs, and they're out there doing this sport because they love it and they want to have a good time. And if they go home at the end of the day having a bad experience, it's, you haven't, as a secretary, you haven't done your job. You're the face that meets and greets them and helps them through the whole process. And I remember a rider, it was a Loch Moy event, and she had had a fall, and she was eliminated on one of her other horses, and she, to me, she did not have a good day. And she came in at the end of the day, turning in her pennies, and she said, "This is one of my favorite events." And I laughed, and I said, you know, how can a rider who's had, on paper, a very unsuccessful day, still had a big smile on her face and was going home happy? And it's because the whole atmosphere, and I think the secretary sets the tone of the atmosphere in a big way, was it was a fun day. It was a good day.
Yeah, a positive experience, as you say. An important point there that it is a consumer service that you're providing to the sport, and these people that you get to know, and they get to know you, and then you each meet your expectations for the day. And I know when it comes to scheduling, you've got riders who are having multiple rides, and somehow you manage to sort them all out and keep them happy too.
And to me, that comes from years of experience and knowing these riders, because there are some riders that I know I can give 18 minutes between their dressage rides, and they're fine with it. If I did that to some other rider who was there, because that person with the multiples has a good support staff, and the horses have been lunged, and they're warmed up, and they're just, the rider gets off one on the next, off one on the next. Other riders come with two horses, and I know that they come by themselves with no one to help them. They have to get off the one horse, wash it down, untack it, put it away, get the other horse tacked up, and they might need 2 hours between their dressage rides. And that's just a matter of learning to know the customer base and finding out who can handle what.
Well, also coming as part of the job is those very long hours as well. I mean, we're all used to long hours in the horse world, of course, in eventing. But your task, you know, it goes from obviously several months lead up to an event and then during the event itself. But give some people here the ideas of the kind of tasks that they would be charged with. What does that job description look like, Mary?
Well, the interesting thing is, in the good old days when people entered on opening day, it was more, your time involved was more spread out over the 6 week period that the entries were open. Now, as we all know, nobody enters on opening, although we're trying to encourage that by a lot of events are giving reduced entry fees for entering in the first 2 weeks, which has helped a little bit. But you have to process all of the paperwork as it comes in, and you're responsible for checking USEA, USEF memberships, and that type of thing, signature pages, Coggins. I can tell you that incomplete entries are one of my pet peeves, because it just adds to the workload exponentially when you're getting dribs and drabs of paperwork here and there. I love a complete entry that just everything comes at one time. You process it, you put it into the system, you file it, and you're done with it until you come to the scheduling. So you process all your entries as they come in, and then you get to the scheduling part, and that takes, depending on the number of multiple people and the size of the divisions, and there's so many parameters, you have to work with the organizer and the volunteer coordinator, and that kind of thing as to what they can work with as an overall schedule. Then you start plugging in the ride times, and then you start shuffling around the multiples and making it all work for everybody. But I see it as a big puzzle, and I always have loved puzzles, so I look at it as a puzzle. How in the world can I get this rider on seven horses through all three phases in one day? And I start playing around, and I can usually make it work, and occasionally I get stumped, and I will send the rider. I'll say, okay, this is when preliminary is going to do dressage. This is when they're show jumping. This is when they're going cross country. You tell me when you want the ride times, and I will schedule everything else around you. And normally, if I get stumped, they will email back and say, let's move this one down to training, or let's scratch this one, because they can't do it either.
Yeah, it's interesting. It becomes a teamwork there to solve the riddle, as you say, solve that puzzle of putting all the pieces together. Explain, if you would, Mary, the people that are immediately around you in that team that you're going to be working with. So people have an idea, you know, it's the ripple in the pond. It's more part of the teamwork, isn't it? And the people you're going to be directly responsible to and with during the lead up to an event and being at the event itself.
Well, I think the big things in the lead up are your organizer and your volunteer coordinator, because sometimes they will have more volunteers in the morning or more in the afternoon, or you can juggle the schedule around a little bit to accommodate when you have the best staffing. And the organizer may have things planned like an exhibition at lunchtime, or they want to drag and water the rings. You have to make sure that you've allowed time for that. If they want to drag and water the rings, you have to make sure that all the dressage arenas are on break at the same time. It doesn't do you any good to have them staggered. If they're not planning to do that, then you don't have to worry about that. So you have to work closely with the organizer and your volunteer coordinator. And then during the event, you throw the officials into the mix and getting them the information that they might need, numbers and names if anybody's had a fall. There's forms that have to be filled out. There's statistics from the cross-country phase that I'm lucky I use event entries, and that type of information gets just spit right out of the program after scoring's done. And then better, you always have things that happen, like people have a flat tire, so they get there late, and you're juggling around. Once you have the schedule done, it's not really done. You always have those last-minute hiccups that things happen, and you have to be flexible enough to try and accommodate that person, because, again, it wasn't their fault they had a flat tire, and you want to do everything you can to make sure you can fit them in and make it work.
Right. Well, you mentioned, the entries. I think the important message, as you say, is to have that complete entry when riders need to be aware. There's a lot of riders listening to this program, Mary, so what would be your prayer of the day?
My prayer of the day is that, again, because I use the event entry software, there's other good softwares out there, but for me, I love it when someone does an entry online with a credit card and they've already uploaded their signature page and Coggins through the event entry system, and that way, literally, it's all done, and I don't have to touch it. So that's my favorite one. After that, I don't have any problem getting a mailed-in entry if it's complete. I check signature Coggins, and I plug it in, and it's done. I guess one of my things that drives me crazy is no matter how many times you email, please send it in, please send it in, and they show up at the check-in desk, and they say, I have it on my phone. Can I email it to you? And I think, well, why didn't you do that 2 weeks ago? Because the paperwork the day of the event is no excuse for it, really, in today's day and age of emailing and scanning and electronic versions of things. So if I can reach out to anyone listening, you will make your secretaries in a much better mood if you get that stuff into them. I would like to see it the week before the event, because that's before you get into all of the frantic scheduling and getting clipboards together and orders of go and that type of thing. You really don't want to be putting in Coggins and signature pages at that point. It's so helpful if it can be done even 1 week out. Makes a big difference. So there you go. Please, everybody, email that stuff ahead of time.
Are there reasons why they don't do that, Mary? I mean, you know, obviously they've all got their reasons, but they just don't consider that they've put all those pieces together in one go. I mean, people make excuses, of course, but is there any good reason why people can't do that?
I honestly can't think of a good reason why they can't do it. I know that everybody gets busy, and they think it's just, their signature. What's the big deal if I have to sign my paper when I get my packet? Well, if you multiply that by 50% of the entries, so for Sporting Days this weekend, we have 390 riders. That's 180 pieces of paper that are coming in the day of the event and have to be processed, put into the computer, filed. It just isn't necessary. And I think if people could think not just of their own busy schedule, but think of the poor secretary and multiply their missing information times 200, it makes a difference.
All right. Well, there you have it from the Queen of Show Secretaries, Mary Coldham. That is a prayer of the week. Please write
us. Prayer of the week.
Yes. And this please. Goes out for as a cry from all show secretaries around the country. Please complete those entry forms. Well, Mary, thank you very much for all the sterling work you do as a show secretary for us here at the USEA and for coming back on the program and telling us what it takes. And obviously, as a message, finally, in your words, to potential show secretary, any possible volunteers out there who would like to get involved, what are you going to say to them?
I would say that it is a very rewarding job, and I always feel good being able to see the smiling faces of all the competitors at the end of the day when they've all had a good day, and it makes you feel good inside yourself, and it's really, I find it to be rewarding. So come on. Come on and do it.
Have a go. All right, wonderful. Well, win-win for everybody. Mary, thank you so much indeed for coming on the program. Always great to catch up with you, and have a wonderful, wonderful season. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, Kate Loki joins us now from the office to talk about the Gold Cup Series, which kicks off next week in Red Hills, Florida, and obviously a very important start to the season. So, Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it is a very important start to the season for that Gold Cup event series, and we're going to be hearing from Jane Barron, the organizer at Red Hills, a little bit later on in the program. But let's start with an overview, Kate, of the Gold Cup event. Now, it's been running a few years. A lot of people are familiar with it. But what do they really need to know, in essence, about the series and what it represents and the events that are going to be included this year?
Yeah, sure. So the Attaquan USEA Gold Cup was actually created in 2004, which with the goal of creating an exciting series of upper-level competition, also to help promote the sport of eventing. And it currently consists of 11 qualifying competitions at the advanced and the CIC three-star level across the country. And the USEA actually sends staff to each of those events to help provide event coverage and any additional help needed. The 11 qualifiers lead up to the final, which is held at the Neutrino USEA American Eventing Championships each year. And the rider must complete at least one Gold Cup qualifier on a qualifying score to be eligible for the final. And this year, we're really particularly excited about the final, the AEC and the Gold Cup final, because we've got a beautiful new venue. I'm sure most everyone has seen the announcements. It's moving to the Tryon International Equestrian Center, which is in North Carolina. And it'll take place this year on Labor Day weekend, which is September 1st through 4th. So mark your calendars. We'll also have live streaming at the final this year, which is a really exciting enhancement.
My goodness, that's really moving into the 21st century, isn't it?
And
it is an expectation, really, these days, isn't it, of live streaming of an event. So that's something to look forward to. Are there any of the events in the series, the qualifiers that we'll be having that, Kate, that you know of?
I'm not certain of that yet. We are actually in the middle of planning some very exciting enhancements for the Gold Cup Series in 2017. So stay tuned for that. But it's going to be a little bit of a series remodel just to enhance it for the future. So I'm sure we'll be speaking to all the venues about things like that in the future.
Let's talk about the qualification then for those finals and how that system works for those that may be thinking they're moving up to this level and will choose an event with a Gold Cup in it that they can obviously make their way to try on eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. So right now, we keep it pretty straightforward. All we always say for the final right now is that you have to attend one of the 11 qualifiers and earn a qualifying score. And by qualifying score, that just means ending on a numerical score at any of those qualifiers with no more than 20 jump penalties on cross country. So it's really just making sure you're attending one of those events. Again, those are all advanced level or CIC three star. And many of those events offer both. And those events that do offer both, we deem both of those Gold Cup qualifiers. So the riders can actually compete in either division at those Gold Cup events to make it to the final.
Right, so that's fairly straightforward. And there's more information on the website as well, isn't there, Kate?
Absolutely. And we have, again, the final will be at the AEC this year. Thanks to our Gold Cup title sponsor, Attaquan, we've been able to commit $40,000 worth of prize money just for the Gold Cup final. which is actually the second largest payout in eventing the country, second behind Rolex. So that's exciting, and we're in talks with Trion Group about increasing the purses more for all divisions. So just again, another big thanks to all of our Gold Cup sponsors for making that possible. We've got Broadstone, Fitz, Stanley, None Finer, Merck, Animal Health, Neutrina, and Piranha. So we're pretty excited about that, and they help provide exciting prizes and money actually to all the qualifier events. So we're pretty excited with the series.
I was going to ask you about the goodies that they get. I mean, the wonderful sponsors' gifts as well as the prize money. Can you give us the structure of the prize money for those qualifiers, Kate?
Yeah, well, it's actually different at all of the events. So the USCA provides a certain level of prize money from the sponsors to each of those events, but then it is up to the organizers in those events to raise even more prize money, which we urge them to do. Again, that's something we're going to be trying to enhance and help provide more for in the future. But currently, it's a minimum of $1,500 prize money and then just wonderful prizes from the sponsors, such as Adequan certificates, Fitz breeches, gift certificates for Stanley Hay, None Finer, Merck and Piranha, and Neutrina.
And there's always the coveted rugs as well, the blankets, the coolers.
Yep, absolutely. We've got a wealth of prizes.
Yeah, everybody wants to win one of those because it really puts a stamp on that partnership if they've got that Gold Cup qualifier under their belt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So lots to look forward to then with the series this year. And as I said, it gets underway at Red Hills next week and runs right through till when. Just remind us Kate, if you would, of the dates and then the finals in Trion.
Of Trion, so the date of Trion is actually Labor Day weekend again this year. So that's going to be taking place September 1st through 4th, 2016. So riders have quite a bit of time to go get qualified at any of our 11 qualifiers.
Wonderful. All right. And the website has details of the Gold Cup series, so you can pick your event wherever you are in the country, which area suits you. And there are a total of how many, did you say, Kate?
There's 11 qualifiers.
11 qualifiers, right. Okay. All right. Well, it's a wonderful opportunity to get involved with. What is the signature series, really, of the USCA now, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it's been very exciting.
It is the flagship for the U.S. Eventing Association, and we hope you'll participate anytime throughout the season there and enjoy, as you say, the benefit of the sponsors, the very kind gifts, and the generous prize money that goes with it as well. So thanks for coming on the program. It all begins next week in Red Hills, and Kate Loki was joining us there from the office. Kate, always great to hear from you. Thanks for coming on the program.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris.
And now, for the first in the USCA Gold Cup series, we hear from the organizer of Red Hills Horse Trials, Jane Barron. The final countdown has begun, Jane.
Yes, it has, Chris. Thank you. It's nice to be here with you.
Nice to have you back again. So, in this final week, of course, the final tweaking to the preparations there in Tallahassee, let's talk overall about what the event's going to look like different this year and the scheduling. Of course, it all kicks off on Thursday, March the 10th, with first day of dressage. But let's talk about the event in total. You know, what's going to be different? What can we expect to see?
Well, we are still trying to refine the placement of the various parts of the venues in the park. It's been very much a work in progress, and we're trying to optimize the locations for the various participants, whether they be the riders and the horses, or whether they be the vendors in the Avenue of Shops, or the sponsors, or just the spectators. This year, we have taken the cross-country course back out of the middle of the spectator area. We will not have the cross-country course running through the dressage and show jumping arena as it did last year. And the course is going to run counterclockwise this year. It's a very galloping, much more open course. That's one of the big things this year. And we spent a good bit of time working on the footing, particularly on the cross-country course, but also trying to finish up and refine the arena area that we began last year. I'm not sure how many people realize that the last truckload of granite screenings came in behind the first horse and on the trailer coming in for the event last year. So, you know, it's taken us a while to get all the pieces in place, but Premier Equestrian has helped us enhance the footing, enhance the granite screenings that we got down last year so that the arenas are cushioned, and we have separated we've expanded the arena area so that we have room for four competition arenas for dressage within a grass berm that separates a warm-up area of the same footing. So, you know, there's subtle changes this year, not quite as dramatic as moving the whole sponsor tent in the arena area, but it's still a work in progress, and we're just doing our best to make it as comfortable as we can for the riders and the horses.
Now let's talk about the cross-country course, and we talk about the layout there now, and the construction, the design. Let's talk about that, Jane.
All right. What would you like to know? I'm trying to find a quiet place here. I apologize.
Not to worry. We know you're on location there.
Telephone's going off right and left. The focus of the design really has been to make the courses across the board more galloping and more inviting to the horses, to be a really good first really stiff run out for the horses so that they come off having had a really good time with their experience on the course. So to that end, the jumps are going to be a whole lot more natural looking. There'll be a good bit of brush on the course. We have completely opened two brand new loops to the course, one leading to the water that was the Sawgrass Island, but which now has been completely redesigned. The basic shape of the water jump is the same, but it will look very different to the riders this year, and the island is no more, which will make a lot of people happy. And then we've also opened a really pretty loop through the stand of the trees that was to the south of the steps up. It's a gorgeous run through the woods down to the ditch that was the Shire. That is now a broken bridge, completely reworked. And we're utilizing that lower end of the property to greater advantage this year. So more galloping, more brush, more height, maybe a little less technicality, and footing has been the name of the game all spring, summer, and fall here with us.
As always, it is, Jane. And your course designers that you're working with, just explain again who's on your team now.
Michael Etherington Smith has come in for the 3-star in advanced, and he is offering very generously to work with some of the U.S. course designers here in sort of a mentoring program, if you will, working in collaboration with David O'Connor at Red Hills this year on the 2 and the 1-star. So we have quite a powerful team of designers.
Right, so obviously you've got some of the best in the world there, continuing to improve the quality and standard there at Red Hills. And in terms of the other attractions, then you have. First of all, let's talk about your designer for show jumping.
Our designer for show jumping is William Fuzzy Mayo, who is actually a show jumping designer. He comes out of the show jumping world. Fuzzy's been with us for a while, and very well respected in the show jumping realm, but he's back with us again this year.
All right. Well, let's
move on. I think, again, in terms of Fuzzy's design, I think the course will be a little bit more open than it was last year, particularly since he has more room now with the redesign of the arenas.
Right. Well, let's look at the other attractions then, because you always have such a full program there and great competitors party, one of the best on the circuit, famous for its competitors party and organization. But let's look at all the other things that you've got on offer, because you always have a full 4 days there, don't you?
We do. It's fun. We have to have a fun time doing this, or it just wouldn't be worth spending the year working on it. We will have a wonderful party Friday night for our sponsors that will include a bourbon tasting. And we are doing our dead level best to come up with a bottle of Patty Van Winkle to be part of that bourbon tasting. So that's an attraction for the sponsors. And we're also extending the bourbon tasting into the competitors' party Saturday night. We won't have a second bottle of Pappy's for that, but we will have a really good selection from Buffalo Trace. It'll be kind of fun, and we always have to have some silly game to get the competitors up and involved. And the Fried Turkeys have asked to play again this year, so we'll have music and merriment and a little bit of bourbon to fuel the evening.
As always, great fun. But let's now focus on the most, one of the key components of the success of Red Hills over the years, and that's your sponsors. Let's talk about those and who is still with you, and do you have any new sponsors this year?
Well, we're always looking to add new sponsors, yes. We have a new one in Legacy Toyota who is going to provide pickup trucks for our dressage judges and for transportation. You know, we used to have these really pretty little lattice gazebos that were absolutely miserable for the judges in the kind of weather that we typically have on dressage day. So beauty is being sacrificed for function here, and Les Acres and Legacy Toyota are going to provide us with pickup trucks so the judges will have a little height on the arenas. So that's a brand new sponsor. We absolutely could not run Red Hills without our sponsorship, and we fortunately have maintained our very strong bank of sponsors. Four Rivers Smokehouse is with us this year. We've done a good bit of electrical work in the park, so RAW Construction has been a major sponsor in enabling that for those who've been with us for a number of years. We've had one of those problems that every now and then in the middle of the event, the wiring fails, and some of it was old. It's been there since we began Red Hills. So that's been a major one for us. They've helped us rework all the wiring in the park. But no, we have a really strong core of supporters, and we're eternally grateful to them for their support, and most particularly the municipal governments here, the Lynn County Tourist Development Council, and the City of Tallahassee, without whom we could not begin to pull off Red Hills. And then, of course, the Water Management District, who affords us the use of the property each year. So very fortunate to have such strong support.
Right. And, of course, it is the first one in the series of the USEA's Gold Cup events throughout the year. So that's an important part of the competition there at Red Hills too, isn't it?
It really is. It's very nice of the Gold Cup to include us again this year. We love being part of it, and that is a very important factor to our sponsors. They're really interested in the fact that we've been asked to participate, and we just really appreciate that fact.
And let's finally remind everybody of the dates when everything kicks off there next week on Thursday, March the 10th. Jane, and how each day unfolds. So what people can expect if they're coming to visit Red Hills this year.
All right. Well, Thursday we'll begin the veterinary in barns. Those will start at 9 o'clock or possibly a little bit earlier if people are, you know, if competitors are ready to come before the FEI vets. We're going to run some dressage Thursday afternoon in the one-star and the two-star division because we are most fortunate to have too many entries in both of those divisions, in each of those divisions, to run all of the rides in one day. So we will start that, we think, about 2:30. That schedule's not firm. But Rick Dunkerton is going to communicate directly with the riders, probably those with multiple rides, to make sure that riding a day early will be convenient for them. Friday all day will be dressage, three-star, two-star, one-star, and all of the national divisions. And then Saturday, all day, will be cross-country. We are going to jump the CIC three-stars on Saturday before they go out on cross-country. And then Sunday will be show jumping for the other divisions, beginning with prelim, probably at about 9:30 in the morning. We will have a veterinary inspection for the one- and two-stars, and then we will build in level throughout the day with show jumping.
All right. And when you're not watching the horses, of course, there's a fabulous food court there and your terrific avenue of shops as well, Saddler's Row. I mean, lots to do and lots for the family to do. A great day to come out to the country and enjoy not just the horse competition, but all the other activities that you put on there at Red Hills, Jane.
Looking forward to a good group of shops in the avenue. We have repositioned them so that they will be more centered, more central. We're going to have a wonderful children's playground that will be put together and staffed by the City of Tallahassee Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhood Affairs. We have pony rides for the children, and one of the favorites, Bradley's Country Store, will be there with their wonderful sausage dog. So we do have 15 food vendors, and I honestly am not sure where we are with the count on the avenue. A number of fabulous saddlers are coming to Saddler's Row, so we should have great shopping opportunities for the horsey and the non-horsey.
It is going to be a fun-filled weekend for sure there up in Tallahassee. And no doubt that you've ordered the weather that we're having this week in Florida. You've ordered it for next week. So hopefully somebody's listening, because you've had enough of those wet dressage days up there, Jane.
I do indeed hope someone's listening. We would just love to have an absolutely beautiful weekend. But I'm not in a position to order anything, but I can sure do a lot of hoping and a lot of praying that we have a pretty weekend.
All right. Well, I know you'll do everything you can to make it a successful week there and host the Gold Cup event again there in Tallahassee for the Red Hills Horse Trials next Thursday. It all begins up there on Thursday the 10th of March through the weekend. So, Jane, the very best of luck with it. I hope it is a fabulous weather and you have a wonderful week. And thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. Always fun to talk with you.
And that's it for this week's program. We'll be continuing our series on the USEA Gold Cup previews on next week's episode. But for now, don't forget to check out all the social media networks here at the USEA and visit us online at useventing.com for all of the latest news. I'll be back with much more next week. So until then, thank you all for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.